Griffith. I guess I don't even need to introduce him. He'll introduce himself, that's for sure. You'll know who he is. Before we get started, I want to take a couple quick moments to remind everybody that because of this type of show, that the radio station here, WVQC, is not responsible for the content. The thoughts, the comments, the statements are those of mine and any of my guests. So please don't email WVQC and say, these guys are heretics. Because believe me, once Britt gets live on the air, this guy is a heretic. You'll have to really watch what he says. He's a nut job. But Teresa is standing by in our chat room. She's already sending me stuff to ask him. So it's going to be an interesting hour. And for those that have never heard anything that Britt has to say, then you will certainly be up for some therapy when this is over. So before we get too busy, I want to remind everybody about some stuff that's come up locally in Cincinnati and around the country for some charities that we like to hang out with. So if you're a fan of Ben Hansen from Sci-Fi's Factor Fate, and also from the old, what are their names are? The state, Penn State guys. There you go. My brain is just completely cramped. If you go and check out some of the Facebook pages for Inside of Paranormal Radio, you're going to see a whole bunch of charity events coming up, and you'll want to go check that out. We've also got one thing coming up here in Cincinnati, and that's called Creep Fest here in October. So that is on October the 7th. You'll want to check that out, Creep Fest. And the ultimate end job of that will be a whole bunch of charities having some money raised, and that's a good thing for charity. So it's good to have the paranormal groups get together and do some things instead of gripe and complain and tell each other about how they fake evidence. Instead, they get together and have some fun, tell some jokes, and have a good time. And if you've never been to a paranormal event before, this one's kind of small, but it'll be fun. It's a lot of local stuff. And if you've ever thought about joining a paranormal team, this is a great opportunity. There's always teams there. You know, everybody needs somebody usually to come and help them out on investigations. So by all means, jump in and have some fun with that. And all right, so before we get into Britt, I'm going to take one quick break and play our first sponsor ad. And you know how it goes with folks. So stay tuned. We'll be right back inside of Paranormal Radio.
On Sunday, October 7th, 2012, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Well, technical difficulties. My producer didn't show up tonight, so, you know, whatever. It's just how it goes. Well, we're going to skip the commercials and just go spend an hour with Britt. And I think I might need some therapy when it's over. So, Teresa, I see you in the chat room. I see other folks jumping in and getting ready to ask their questions. So, Britt, without any further ado, you are live on Inside of Paranormal Radio. Britt Griffith, are you there?
I am here. Are you there?
I am somewhere here in virtual cyber. Am I a ghost? If you can't see me but you can hear me, is that considered an EVP?
Well, more to the point, in my contract to do this show, it stipulated that Teresa had to be there or I wouldn't come on.
Well, you know, she is the better looking part of the two, that's for sure. But, you know, I digress. I sometimes think that Teresa...
She is the better half. You realize that, right?
She is. That's what sucks. That's what sucks. Yeah, that's why, you know, actually, she's not really sick, if I have to be truthful. I told her she can't come because I wanted to be the feature. I'm the star. That's not true. That's not true.
She would knock you upside the head.
Oh, she would do that.
Yeah. But you enjoy that too much. But that's a whole other story.
Right on. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And here starts the therapy.
That's right. I'm sorry. This is the Dr. Dave Hour. And, well, you know, funny thing is, I say the Dr. Dave Hour. And I used to jokingly say why I played one on TV, but Britt has played one on TV. So
on a movie.
On a movie. Well, it's very good. So
I guess it'll be on TV eventually.
Well, you know, in about 8 years, it'll be on, like, Saturday Night Live skit, and you'll be there dressed as a doctor, putting your rubber glove on with one finger up in the air, and everybody running like hell.
Mm-hmm. Turn to the left and cough.
So let's jump right into it. So everybody knows you from Ghost Hunters and that stuff. So you took a little detour recently and jumped into the bigger screen. So let's just jump right into it. Tell a little bit about what you've been doing for the last few months and the movie that you are going to be starring in.
Right. Well, for for those who don't know my bio, I've been on Ghost Hunters for 4.5 years now, and I am born and raised in Hollywood, one of the few that can actually say that. Being on Ghost Hunters has opened up a few doors for me that I never thought I would have opened, and I decided about a year ago to really try and make the jump from reality to scripted work to the movies, and Brennan Schlage, who's the director-writer of Black Dahlia Haunting and Devin and Ten, which is his girl and my co-star, I guess you would call it, they reached out to me, and we formed a friendship, and they asked if I would take this co-star part on as Dr. Owen on Black Dahlia Haunting. Now, for those that don't know, the Black Dahlia was Elizabeth Short. She was murdered in the 40s in L.A. She was a lady that was actually cut in half and then had her a smile carved into her face, a lot like the Joker on Batman. And it was a very horrific, it's probably the most horrific unsolved murder in L.A. history. And Brandon wrote the story that kind of blended that murder along with some paranormal stuff and kind of present day. And somehow I got cast to play this doctor, and I play a very straight, arrogant, educated doctor, but I have a very, very dark side that plays out in this movie.
So during the filming of that movie, did you find that the emotions of that character, and I don't know how, you know, if you had to sit back and get into character every day, but, you know, did you find that some of the things that you might have experienced during some of your Ghost Hunter days, some of your investigations, that those type of oddities or, you know, darkness type of things really came through from that character to real life? Or was there any real correlation there?
Well, you know, where my history with Ghost Hunters helped was, number one, Ghost Hunters is not scripted, it's reality-based, but I'm extremely comfortable being in front of the camera now. And that education experience came from Ghost Hunters, absolutely. I am not a trained actor. I went 37 years of my life behind the camera, so to speak, you know, just working little jobs. Now, I have worked on set, being born and raised in Hollywood, but as a carpenter, as security, as a page, you know, that production, that kind of stuff. And then I went off to the blue-collar world for a long time, and then somehow I ended up on Ghost Hunters. So I'm not a trained actor. But when I decided to make this jump, you know, everybody thinks, well, I can act. I just have to put a camera on me. I can act. You know, it's an art form, and it is a job. I didn't realize how hard it was going to be, but I took like 12 or 13 hours of private lessons about a year ago forward to like 4 months, and then I started taking on these real small featured roles or little small quick parts just to hone the craft a little bit and basically learn the craft. And then when I took on this co-star role as Dr. Owen and having to go from basically a very normal, arrogant kind of psychologist to a very dark, crazy place, I was a little worried about it. But it turns out I can go in and out of crazy pretty easy. And I literally had to do this one scene where I walked through a door threshold, and on one side, as I was walking into it, I was Dr. Owen, and when I walked into my secret place, so to speak, my dark place, all in one shot, I had to go from Dr. Owen to the evil Dr. Owen, and I'm able to pull it off. So it's really a lot of fun to be able to let your mind go and go to some scary, dark places and do some stuff that's obviously... it's obviously Hollywood, but, you know, you let your mind go there so you can get into that character. And it's kind of scary that I can go there, but it's also kind of cool. My wife was on set for one of the scenes that we did, and I had to do a particularly dark thing. And when the director said cut, she looked over at the director, and in this full astonishment goes, I have to sleep next to him tonight? Because she had no idea I could go to such a dark place and pull it off on camera.
Nice. So do you attribute that to just being Britt Griffith, or do you really attribute that from having the scalability of having some lessons under your belt and some Hollywood time under your belt and really just being an actor?
I attribute that to being on Ghost Hunters and being super confident, super comfortable on set in front of cameras, taking direction, that has helped immensely. The 13 hours of private lessons that I took really helped. And that even helped me on Ghost Hunters, believe it or not. You know, when they do those little cutaway interviews, something happens, and then they cut away and go, well, KJ and I, we were investigating the living room, and this happened. It's really helped me with that also. And it's just getting to a point in my life where I don't care what people think about me. The secret with acting is not caring what people think about you. Just get in the character and do it and have fun doing it. And that's what I had to trick in my head, and it seems to work quite well. And I'm having a lot of fun doing it, and I have yet to see any footage of me as the evil Dr. Owen, but I've seen footage of me as the good doctor or the arrogant Dr. Owen, and it's like, oh, okay, I made this happen. I look like a friggin' doctor.
Right on. When you you talk about how that's helped you with the cutaways and the other filming stuff on Ghost Hunter, so let's take a minute and talk about, you know, the differences between, you know, so 4.5 years of doing something, you know, year one, your whatever, your excitement level, your anticipation level, your not sure what's going to happen in front of the camera level compared to year 4.5, you know, how vastly different, if any, is it for you?
Well, I mean, I still get giddy as a kid in a candy store when paranormal activity happens. You know, when I get to see a door move or, you know, we do an EVP session, I'm reviewing it, and there's the answer back that you want, I still get super excited because it's still so rare. But I will tell you this, we investigate a lot on the TAPS team, a couple times a week. We do 2 cases a week, basically. And we've been doing it for 4.5 years. The show, we run all year long. So we are a little bit jaded. You know, sometimes I find myself we'll be asking for a sign, and we'll get, like, footsteps down. We'll be going, oh, that's old. That's boring. Can you do something more? Can you just, like, shut a door for us? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, most paranormal groups go their entire career, and they don't get to experience anything like that. And here I am going, you know, that's not enough. Can you do something more? So sometimes I have to remind myself that, you know, this is still pretty cool, bad stuff that we get to see. I almost cut there. I had to self-censor myself.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, I still get excited. I love the show. I love doing it. I still watch the show. I actually watch the show every Wednesday when it's on because I still enjoy the show. And our amazing crew that films it and the amazing guys in L.A. that edit it together and make it make sense and tell the story of our investigation, you know, we're all one big team, and it's just amazing at the end of the day to sit back and watch it and go, wow, this is still really cool. I have the best job in the world. I travel the country, catch a paycheck for it, and look for guilt. How crazy is that?
Right on. There's no doubt about that, especially because it's Brett Griffith. He is crazy, right? For those listening who just those who are just joining in, I am talking to Brett Griffith from Ghost Hunters, from the newly filmed and... do you know when it releases, Brett? When's the Black Dahlia Haunting coming out?
Oh, Black Dahlia Haunting's world premiere will be in Syracuse, New York at the Syracuse Convention. And it'll be premiered there at their horror, sci-fi, and fantasy film festival. And that's coming up, so I want to say it's September 15th. It's the middle of September. But if you go to scare-a-cuse.com, you can find the whole schedule there. And there's also 15 or 20 other horror movies and shorts and whatnot being screened at that festival also.
So now we can add to your resume that not only are you a Ghost Hunter, but I play a doctor on the movies. So that...
Yeah, I play a doctor on TV, and I've used that line a few times. and then my wife slaps me.
But you know, and I've tried to use that line a few times, but now I have to hide only in your shadow because I didn't really get to do it, and you did. Dang.
Yeah. Dang. It's a crazy ride. It's a crazy ride I'm on right now. I love being on Ghost Hunters. I love the reality side of this genre that I work in, but I'm also really enjoying acting. I've done a handful of movies since Black Dahlia. I did some small stuff up front. Then I did Black Dahlia, and I've done some bigger stuff after that. So I'm really having fun, and it's not lost on me that that the paranormal world and ghost hunters has kind of put me in this position, and I'll never be too good to talk ghost stories and go to paranormal conventions and ghost hunt with the fans of the show, even long after Ghost Hunters goes off the air. Not saying it's going off the air, but everything has its cycle.
Right on.
But I'm in a blessed position. I'm just having a blast living life. And it's also kind of fun to be able to share with you guys and the fans, and that you guys kind of live vicariously through me.
Right on. While you guys were filming whatever locations that you were using to film that movie, were there times that the Ghost Hunter and you came out, did you ever feel like, man, I want to do an EVP session here? Is it hard to like not want to do something like that nowadays?
No, you know, actually, it's kind of funny because Devaney Penn, who's my co-star, actually, to be honest with you, Devaney Penn's the star of the show. I'm a co-star, and then Noah Dolly is a co-star. She's hugely into the paranormal, and she actually just did her first event at Fort Mifflin and got to ghost hunt. But yeah, we are known to look for ghosts on whatever set that we're at. And then they actually did a whole scene at the actual spot Elizabeth Short was, her body was dumped at. And it was funny because Devaney said that when they were reviewing the filming footage, she was listening intently for any EVP. So, we are known to do that. We are definitely kind of weird. The horror world and the paranormal world really blend, and there's a lot of crossover there, so it's cool. And then it helps, you know, Devaney Penn was also voted on Break.com, hottest chick with a chainsaw.
Right on, yes.
You know, oh yeah, you don't want to piss that woman off because she'll break a chainsaw out on you.
That's what
she has a custom-made McCullough chainsaw that's all pink, and the teeth on the blade are pink also. It's really kind of cool.
I've got a paranormal Italian. I don't know if that makes a difference, but that's the lady in my life is a paranormal Italian lady, and good God almighty. I'm not sure if I have to watch what I do and say. Mm-mm.
So Italians talk with their hands, so when she gets excited, is it like deadly to be around her?
Oh yeah, it's like Kung Fu Ninja Panda or something. Like, wow, dude, are you killing me? You gotta knock me out with those things. She was just trying to say hi and about to get a concussion.
Well, hopefully she doesn't have fake nails on.
You know, she's my co-host too, so I should probably watch what I say.
Yeah, probably, because you're gonna give you an Italian.
One of the questions I've got coming in off of our chat room for you is, you know, do you tend to have a lot of personal experiences outside the show? Do you, you know, once you're away from it, from the TV stuff, do you still just go out and do it for fun? And do you have experiences outside the show that...
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, okay, let's get some things in perspective here. The Ghost Hunter show is a very unique reality show. Most TV shows, scripted and reality, they run maybe 3 or 4 months, and they had their season in the can. Ghost Hunters, last year, I was on the road 307 days. We ghost hunt. We're investigating all the time. So when I do come home, like I'm home right this second in time. I happen to be here in L.A., and I'm only home for 12 days. I was gone for 5 weeks. And when I leave next Sunday, I will be gone till November or till October 4th. So I'm only home 12 days, so I spend as much of that as I can with my kids and my friends and my family, because I'm not. But like in October, I'm coming home for a whole month. We have a whole month off in October. So I will probably go out with the local Taps West Coast team next year, and I'll go do private stuff with them. Absolutely. I was a paranormal investigator before the show came on, and I'll be a paranormal investigator long after it's off the air.
Awesome. Well, if you happen to bump...
I just love doing it, so...
If you happen to bump into also, Sid Schultz out there, tell him we said hi. He's my boy from Cincy. He came out to Cincy a few years ago, and we got to spend quite a bit of time together, so, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I like Sid. And we had the same hairdo, so that's even better.
That makes things easier.
Right on. Another question I've got out of the chat room is, you know, do you... You already mentioned a little bit that sometimes you guys, you know, might even come across as a little bit jaded just because of all the activity that you've experienced. But out of all of that, do you have, you know, I hate this question because I know it's going to come out sounding cheesy, but is there a favorite paranormal question? Is there a favorite paranormal experience? Is there a favorite paranormal question you like to ask during EVPs to see what kind of reaction you get? Do you have something like that you like?
When it comes to EVP questions, if we can get into a groove and we think we're really communicating with something, I like to ask the whole, I try to get deep. I want to know, is there a God? Is there heaven and hell? What's after death? What, I like to ask those deep questions, really the answers that we're looking for. Is there heaven? Is there hell? And what happens when we die? I want to know. I need to know. Am I going up or am I going down? I've been told I'm driving the bus to hell. So, and I believe, Dave, you're second on my list. So
yeah, I might be the co-star for that show.
Yeah. Right. Teresa, she's the entertainment, She's like Gopher from the Love Boat. I like to ask those. And, it's really hard for me to pick out my favorite. I've seen a chair move 6 inches with no one touch it. I've been pushed to the ground. I've watched doors open and close. I've had footsteps walk right by me. Some of the EVP responses you get when they're like little kids is like so heart tugging. It's really hard to pick out one. I've been doing this for 4.5 years, investigating twice a week. I've done hundreds of investigations. I've seen so much. I've experienced so much. It's just an amazing way. But to be honest with you, don't get me wrong, I love the paranormal stuff, but I get more geeked out about the historical places I go, the places that I've been. We investigated the old state house in Connecticut, and I got to sit in the chair that George Washington sat at the desk to negotiate with the French to win for the extra troops to win the Revolutionary War. I was right there. I stood in George Washington's footsteps. When I went on GHI for 15, 20 weeks, we went to Hamlet's Castle, the place that gave Shakespeare the inspiration for Hamlet, supposedly. I danced on the dance floor that King James I danced on for his first honeymoon. I got to lay in the bed that he and his first wife laid in. Different mattress, of course, but the same room, same bed frame. I've just experienced so much historical stuff. It's just amazing. And that stuff I really get geeked out for. I stood on the exact spot that the Hindenburg landed and burned to the ground and did an EVP session. How insane is that?
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt about that.
I've just done some really cool stuff. So to pick one out is really tough.
Right on. Did you actually get any answers to your question about heaven and hell?
I haven't gotten the answers I'm looking for. Nothing concrete. We've had some interesting responses, but nothing that says it absolutely exists or it absolutely does not. I would say it's still in that could be or could not be category.
I want to jump a little bit into some of the changes over at Ghost Hunters. The most obvious, of course, Grant's departure for his own personal reasons to explore other
Grant
parts
left?
Of his life.
When?
Yeah, listen.
When did that happen?
He stayed at your house, I thought, but no.
No, that would not be. Grant would not stay at my house.
You wouldn't know he comes out to L.A. and hang out.
He does not like L.A.
So what, if any, and obviously there's going to be probably something that you can't divulge, but I don't know if I want to say what's different, but how's the feel, how does it feel these days?
We all know that Grant has moved on, and there's going to be some changes, and there's some... I've seen a lot of speculation on the boards and whatnot, which is kind of fun to read. Obviously, Grant's gone. It is different. But the nice thing about the TAP team, we lose any one member, it's not going to train wreck us. The team just sucks it up. Grant is gone. It sucks that we don't have his experience and fun and wit and knowledge and whatnot there to draw on as we're investigating. But he's only a phone call away, and we can call him. Bottom line is, looking back over the last few months that we've been investigating or working without him, the team has really picked up their game. We've all sucked it up and picked up what Grant has had to leave behind, his responsibilities, and we're doing fine. You're going to notice that when we come back, I think it's September 5th, we come back on the air with the new episode. You're going to see that the teams are kind of jumping around. We're trying to figure out the fit of who goes where and how it all works. But, we're going to settle out. We're going to still be the same TAP team. It's just going to be minus Grant. We're still going to help the clients. We're still going to be entertaining to you guys, I hope. It's just going to be minus Grant. And, yeah, it's sad, but, you know, he did what he had to do. He just had enough of it and was ready to go home and raise his family, and that's what he's doing. And we're moving on one case at a time, having a great time. And also, you're definitely going to want to make sure you watch the first episode. It's probably the most intense investigation I have ever done on the TAPS case. It was the most insane thing I've ever experienced in my life. So,
can you say where it was?
I believe, yeah, if you go on sci-fi.com, the schedule is there, and it's the Old City Jail episode.
Okay, very good. We'll make sure that we remind folks to check that out.
That was insane.
So have you convinced Amy Bruni to name her baby Hunter?
Hunter. Hunter. No, I have not. Are you going to pay me to do that?
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, is she going to put it like an old baby carrier on her chest and come walking around with an EVP, like, woohoo?
That'd be pretty funny, actually. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, she's obviously going to be with child and whatnot, so I don't know how they're going to work that out because we do travel a lot. So, but, you know, that's between her and Jason. They got to figure that out, and whatever the decision is, I will support as best I can and make it happen.
Right on. Well, yeah, it's certainly be interesting to be like, look, the baby just, like, barfed. Was that, like, just spit up, or was it, like, like the exorcist, like, pea soup coming out?
The baby's head just spun around. That's right. Is that normal?
See, the baby can be a trigger object. So, I mean, it's certainly a tool to use, right? I mean.
All I know is my kids, when they were first born, my God, they produced some paranormal stuff.
Right on. We are speaking with Britt Griffith from, most people probably know him from Ghost Hunters fame, but now you're going to know him as the man who once played a doctor in a movie, The Black Dahlia Haunting, premiering at Scaracuse up in Syracuse, New York, here in September. Yours truly and Teresa will be up there. So we're going to go up and see if Britt really knows how to work the magic rubber glove for real. In person.
Dave, I will give you a personal private inspection.
Outstanding. I'm oddly aroused and scared at the same time. Sweet.
You should be. I'm a pretty broke individual.
Right on. I want to remind everybody, too, that Teresa is hanging out in the chat room at insideparanormal.com if you want to go hit her up. She is forwarding questions to me to throw at Britt as well. So if you have something you want to ask, by all means, jump in there and throw it at him. Or at her, and we'll throw it at him, or something like that. Britt, tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you. I mean, you've got a pretty full slate of events. You seem to keep a pretty quick calendar going on with the events that you attend, and we've already mentioned Scaracuse, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't sit still. I'm a bit of a workaholic. If I'm sitting still, I feel like I'm wasting time. But yeah, like this coming up Saturday in Pasadena, California at the Pasadena Playhouse, I am doing a lecture. You can go to just Google Pasadena Playhouse, their website will come up, it'll be there. It should show up. Then we have obviously Scaracuse. And then I have, what else do I have coming up? We have the Stanley Hotel event coming up in April, next April. We actually just, Amy Bruni and I, we just announced another Eastern State event, which will be next July, so you have a year to plan for it. But it's actually going to be a big three or four day event. So we're going to have, like, it's the standard BRE, you know, Friday night we meet, we hang out, we have comedy, we drink at the bar, we have a good time, we mingle, and then all day Saturday lectures and educational stuff. So you learn how to ghost hunt, and then we ghost hunt Eastern State at night. And then we do it all over again on Sunday. So that's coming up. Now, what else do I have? God, there's so many things coming up. Just go to my Facebook. I blab about it there all the time. Or follow me on Twitter, which is, there's an extra T in my name. It's Britt T. Griffith. Follow me on Twitter, and you can keep up that way also.
Very awesome. What? Let's step back a little bit about movie filming, you know. Of course, there's every team, not every, but many teams in the paranormal field. Some jump in that their first thought is, I'm going to get on TV. And others, you know, maybe fall into it and find that they enjoy it or hate it, whatever. But talk a little bit about, and you broached the subject a little already, you know, some of the differences between filming non-scripted reality television versus a scripted, you know, film or even TV show, you know, from a feeling of set and time on air. You know, at Ghost Hunters, you guys aren't just filming the obvious 1 hour and it's getting in the can and showing on TV. You're there for days doing hours. You know, how different is scripted television or scripted movies?
Well, and Ghost Hunters is unique. Well, first off, Ghost Hunters, we're at most bigger locations two nights. We shoot about 60 hours of tape a night, so there's 120 hours of tape shot for a 44-minute TV series. So when you're sitting there watching Ghost Hunters, you go, God, why didn't they try this? The reality is we probably did. It just hit the editing room floor. You just get the highlights of our investigation. Ghost Hunters is also a very unique reality show, as in, you know, like if you watch Jersey Shores or Big Brother or any of those kind of reality shows, you know, they're filming those people being themselves. Whether you think they're idiots or cool or whatever, they're just being themselves. Ghost Hunters is reality, and it is an investigation, and we as a team member, an investigator on this team, we have to do our homework and know the building and know the claims and know the tragic history and then also know the tactics of investigating and how to debunk and what equipment does what. And then we have to process all of that, and then we get a camera shoved in our face, and we have to regurgitate that in a way that's entertaining, makes sense, is credible, so that you, the fans, are entertained, educated, and keep coming back to watch. So it's been my experience that Ghost Hunters is actually a little more difficult to do than acting with the script in front of me. With the script in front of me, I read it, I memorize it, I tweak it, I figure it out, and I'm doing what someone else wants. Ghost Hunters, it's all up to me, or it's all up to Amy, or it's all up to Jay. It's whoever that individual investigator is that the camera's on, and they're investigating. So there's a huge difference between Ghost Hunters and any other reality show that's out there, and then going to scripted. I personally like scripted a little more, just because I can, like with Black Dahlia, I can act like an arrogant, pompous ass, and it's a character, so I can get away with it. I don't get slapped. Or I can go to that deep, dark area in my head to see what I can get away with there and have, you know, and do it. And I don't go to jail because it's in a movie. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's it.
Yeah, no, you're right on target there. I mean, it's, a lot of folks, I mean, by now, of course, there have been enough conventions and whatnot for people to meet a lot of you guys from the different GH episodes and, you know, the other teams that are out there that go on these tours. And so people are getting a feel more for what it's really like behind the scenes. But you still, you know, like you talk about cutaways, you know, you guys are, whatever, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and whatever happened. And all of a sudden, a camera's in your face going, Now explain that to them, why you did it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I call that scripting. You know, you have no idea how much I wish Ghost Hunters was scripted. If Ghost Hunters was scripted, I'd make triple the pay and have a union card now. But because it's reality and nothing's put on paper, it falls under a different category, and we make a lot less money. But Ghost Hunters, I call it scripted on the fly. Because, I mean, literally, the producer will say, here's the building. It was built in 1882. Here's the tragic history of it. It burnt down twice here and here. Here's people who died. Here's their name. Camera in your face, make this all make sense. But Britt, what are you going to do tonight? And in your head, you have to process all that and then basically script it. What am I going to tell the audience? How am I going to entertain you, educate you, and make this all make sense?
Right on.
And
right on.
So it is a challenge. But it's kind of funny because everybody wants to be on a paranormal TV show. There's a million people out there all day long. I watch it. I see it. It's in my emails. It's in my Facebook messages. People want to be on a show. The reality is there's a million people that want to do it. There's only a handful of people that are right for the position that can do it. Because you have to be able to investigate. You have to be able to be natural in front of the camera. And you have to have the time, the ability to be away from home for so much, for not a lot of money. And finding all that criteria in someone is actually kind of tough. And if you look at it, if you look at all the shows that have come and gone since Ghost Hunters broke this genre wide open, Ghost Hunters, the cast team, is the only show that was not cast. We are not cast. We are all friends and family somehow. And I think that is the difference. I think that's why Ghost Hunters has lasted for so long, because people can see that we are truly friends and we get along. And don't get me wrong, we live together, so we're like a dysfunctional family. We have our up days and our down days, and sometimes we spat, sometimes we're, you know, the best of buds. So, and I think that shows through. If you look at all the other shows that have come and gone, I think their problems were that they were cast and they were kind of thrown together.
Right on.
And just,
yeah.
And just a show.
When you guys are on set, tell our audience a little bit about, you know, are you guys are there, from my understanding, I've actually been around it a little bit, but you guys are on set anywhere from, or on location, I should say, anywhere, whatever, 15, 20 hours in a day, maybe. And, you know, are you guys staying in RVs on site? Are you guys going to a hotel? Obviously, we see the evidence review shown in a hotel setting type of thing. But, you know, again, the other part is you guys aren't, you know, the evidence review that we're seeing on TV is certainly not taking you guys the 15 minutes that we see. So you're investigating 2 days, but you've got 120 hours worth of whatever you've got to review with.
Right.
You know, there's still a lot more.
When I say 120 hours, that's also including the production cameras. And we don't review what the production camera guy shoots. We only review what we shoot. You know, it's their job to film us. It's our job to document the evidence. So we only, you know, if I have a mini DV camera in my hand, that's what I'm reviewing. I'm not reviewing the production. What I was saying about the 60 hours of tape a night, the production guys, the production side, they shoot about 60 hours a night.
Sure.
And that all goes to LA for editing. So my point is, there's 60 hours of the one night investigation, 120 of the two night investigation, which they edit down to 44 minutes. So there's a lot of stuff that hits the editing room floor. On average, we have probably, on an average case, I have probably 12 to 15 hours of stuff to review, whether it's audio and video combined. And then if we do any still pictures and stuff like that, we got to process those and whatnot. But we literally, our general call time is like 3 p.m., and we're normally not rolling back into the hotel at 5 a.m. the next morning.
Right.
That is roughly what we work about 15 hours a night, things like.
Yeah, again, but, yeah, that's a part of the process that we've experienced with different teams around Cincinnati and stuff, that they come in and talk about this, that, and the other, and they tell us, you know, wanting to be on our radio show. Like, as soon as we get on your show and we start doing a couple other FM shows, we're going to, you know, we're going to go ahead and push and we're going to do a pilot. And I'm like, do a pilot for what? You know, what's setting you guys apart from everybody else that's doing a pilot or doing whatever?
No, exactly.
You're doing,
and they're out there. I see them on LA casting all the time. They're looking for paranormal investigators. There's probably 15 of them. There's probably 15 paranormal pilots being filmed right now. And, you know, good luck. What's funny is every time I see a pilot, it just looks like Ghost Hunters with a different cast.
Right.
You know, and it's like, wow, really? Or it's more of a, you know, the only ones that have really found a unique, different niche than us is the Ghost Adventure guys, and, you know, and their show is doing great too. So, but they found a different niche than us. So,
right, I think that's definitely the key is there are different things that are still unexplored in the paranormal world or different ways to do it, but just right now nobody's putting those things on film, and you're right.
Yeah.
You guys tend to, you know, try to throw out some new technology here and there. You know, have you come across anything? Obviously, FLIRs are cool for some good evidence at times, but, you know, what else? Is there a piece of hardware that you guys are using right now that really just trips your trigger and that's the one piece you want to use often? Is there something like that?
Well, you know, it's funny. People always say, what's the one coolest piece of equipment? And it's not about one piece. It's about multiple pieces. We're trying to document the environment. We're looking for fluctuations in the environment, whether it's temperature, barometric pressure, EMF field, you know, static electricity. We're just looking for fluctuations in the environment. And the FLIR obviously documents heat. We've been using Gary Golnick's equipment, the Melmeter stuff with the REM pods and the shadow detectors and the real-time EVP recorders. And, you know, we use these standalone temperature documenters that will take a reading every 1.3 seconds so we can track a room's temperature fluctuation. You know, it's about using all of it. I am so much more excited when we have paranormal activity happen. Like, say we get an EVP at the same time. We get a spike on the K2 and something moves. I mean, or the temperature drops considerably and then a door shuts. Well, always looking for that, you know, can we get the trifecta of activity, like two or three pieces of equipment fluctuating at the same time, along with some kind of paranormal activity happening. So for me to pick one piece out is tough. I really think that you have to have multiple things. You have to have multiple pieces of equipment to do this job right. You can't just, oh my God, my K2 flicker, your house is on it, moving on.
That's right.
No, you gotta have a lot more going on than just one thing at a time. And we're looking at some new technology coming up. You know, right now we've been using the GoPros as our head cams, but we had a company called KB4 that do a lot of military stuff. They made us a custom. They're making us a custom head cam that will actually transmit the picture back to the tab stand, so people in the tab stand will be able to watch what I'm watching. You know, stuff like that. I'm gonna have an IR camera along with a FLIR camera strapped to my head somehow.
There you go. Well, you know, our team has been using some point of view stuff lately for just that reason, because one of the common complaints on TV ghost hunting is that, well, by the time the camera operator flips around and saying, oh my God, did you see that? Well, no, we're not going to see that by then, usually.
No, and the reality is the camera operator, the production camera guy, his job is to film up.
Right, exactly.
It's our job as investigators to film what's happening. So don't get mad at them. It's not their job to right turn on around and film. That's their job to shoot us. And, you know, I'm a bit of a narcissist. I want him shooting me because I want you guys to know who I am.
Well, you know, white glove, white. No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
I can't get it out of my head. I can't get you out of my head.
I wish I could quit you. We have a lot of fun on set. I got bad news. My 5% bar just lit up, and I don't have a charger in this car. So if I drop, it means my battery went dead.
Very good. That's right. For those that... we didn't say it before, but Britt is on a cell phone. He is at home in the L.A. area. So if you're in L.A., go find him and go hunt Britt. Be a Britt hunter and give him a charger, damn it.
And what's amazing is I started with 3/4 of a battery. Now it's all the way down. I wonder if the ghosts are riding with me right now.
That's right. Or draining your energy, dude. That's right.
There you go, man.
Hey, before we kill, a couple of questions that are coming up is it's funny that we somehow get onto this subject, but... You know, so let's talk about paranormal groupies. You're doing a lot of these events, and obviously you're married, so, you know, I'm not trying to set you up for a failure there, but, you know, there is enough, there's enough oddities in this world that there are paranormal groupies, I would suspect.
You know what? It's not just paranormal. It's just being on TV. It's just being on TV. Whether paranormal or what, it doesn't matter. It's just... It is amazing being on TV, the doors that it has opened, and the headaches that it has caused. And God love my wife. I had the absolute best wife in the absolute whole wide world. She processes this stuff. She keeps me in line. She gets the game, you know, and she supports what I'm doing, and obviously because she gets my paycheck. But, you know, I make enough money to support the family, and she gets to do some cool stuff. But yeah, there are absolutely crazy things that happen in life, and some of the stuff that has shown up in my email box or on my message board, on my Facebook messages, has made me go, "Holy crap, really?" And what's even more funny is the first thing I do is I go, "Hey, honey, come look at this."
Right on.
You know, and it's guys and girls. I have had male genitalia sent to me along with female genitalia, and it's like, this is how you hook a guy, really?
Wow.
this is the dating in 2012?
No doubt.
Oh my God. But yes, no, there's definitely some strange stuff that happens. But I do have to tell you, 99.99999% of the time at these events, the people are straight up just into the paranormal, want to have a good time, want to hang out, want to shoot the, I almost cussed again on your radio show. They just want to, you know, chew the fat and have a good time. And that's what I love about doing these paranormal things. And I also learn a lot when I do these events. So,
besides the every other, you know, however many people that's coming up saying, hey, dude, how do I get on your show? Or who do I got to pitch this idea to? How much true knowledge exchange or, theory exchange, or just you know, like you said, shooting the fat.
A lot.
You know, is there a lot of that going on for you?
A lot. I have learned so much from going to these events, and there's, you know, an engineer guy will come up and he tweaks some equipment some way, and he'll go, "Hey, you should try this, you should try that." And I incorporated it, and it worked. You know, and then I had quantum physics engineers say stuff to me, and, you know, and then I'll work that into it. And, you know, it is amazing the knowledge base that is at those events that you can, if you take the time to have the conversations, you can learn a lot.
Right on.
So, I suggest that people go to them. Go to them. Yeah, some of them are expensive. Some of them are not. You know, you do what you can. All I can tell you is that the ones that Amy and I put on, which are BRE events, they're big parties with a lot of education and a lot of fun.
What should somebody expect when, you know, they, you know, oh man, that's hard. That's a question that's going to be, I'll just skip it because it's probably going to lead you down a path where you're going to have to dance around and not really give a good answer without, you know, offending somebody. So let's not just set you up for that one. Let's jump
in. Just ask it. If I can answer, I will.
At what point is it that you, that when you're speaking with somebody, at one of these events, that it's
that
just
you check out.
Yeah, that it's just time to be done with this one and move on. You know, and how are you going to get away from that, or how do you get away from that?
Well, the reality is, this is a good time to educate the fans too. If you find yourself repeating your question or going over the same question over and over again, that's probably when it's time to okay, I got my information. Let me let someone else have a crack at them. Or just step. You know what I tend to do? What I try to do is kind of talk to people in groups because it gets the conversation going all different directions. And you're right. It is a weird thing. I mean, I went 37 years of my life behind the camera, never having a problem going, God, how do I get away from this person? But, you know, sadly, there are some people out there that are unstable and they get infatuated with people on TV. I have yet to have that happen to me, thank God, but I have witnessed it. And I've had to come to the rescue of a couple people. And bail them out because there's someone that was just unstable that had them locked into a corner. They couldn't figure out how to get out without being rude. And that happens. That's just a fact of life. It just happens, and it sucks. I wish I had all the time in the world to talk to everybody, but sometimes you just don't. You know, sometimes people get mad at me because I don't get back to them fast enough on Facebook. But it's like I worked 3 days in a row overnight, haven't looked at my Facebook in 3 days, and I opened it up, and I have 782 messages in there. I physically cannot go through them all. I just can't. You know, and I'm low man on totem pole on the show. Jay has thousands of messages. So, you know, when you guys, I see every now and then people get upset. They're like, oh, they're too good for us. They're on TV. They're too good to us. No, it's just it's the volume. The volume was overwhelming sometimes. And it gets tough. So I don't know if that answered your question or not.
It does. And that's, one of the things I'd like to tell you is that while you were saying that, I messaged you on Facebook.
Thank you very much. I will not respond to you, but I'll respond to Teresa's 14 issues.
And I will be stalking you in Syracuse. What's up? You know,
I don't think you can stalk the willing.
Well, there is that. What's up? On investigations, when you guys are on site someplace, and maybe the locals kind of figure out who's there and why they're there. Obviously, with production and stuff, you have some security there. But have you had that crazy person end up in some place they shouldn't end up and on set or on location?
Well, one of the beautiful things about having the crew, those people go, oh, you got the crew everywhere. You know, when we're investigating, they're outside, and they're basically set up around the building for security to keep people away from it. We have a more secure investigative area than most paranormal groups do without a camera crew around. But no, we roll into small towns, and sometimes it's like, holy crap, there's 60 people out there watching us in the dark. You know, so we try to go in stealth and get the investigation out of the way quick so that we don't have that problem. And we've actually been pretty good at it for the last two seasons, and we really haven't had that problem. But there were a few times when it was like, we've had to go out as the cast members and talk to like 60, 70 people and say, all right, shake their hands, take pictures with them, and then they leave so that we can do our job. Because as much as they like the show, them being there is contaminating it. We might not be able to use that case.
Right.
So sometimes it is a problem, but the last couple of years we've been actually really good about getting in under the radar and getting the investigative part done and then, you know, coming out of our hole, so to speak.
Right on. Well, it is 8:50 in the East, 5:50 if you're out there in La La Land with Britt. And if you haven't seen him driving around yet, keep on the lookout. He is there. And go hunt Britt Griffith in Los Angeles. That will, if you happen to catch him, try to do something, get him in a compromising pose and Twitter it for us, please. And
yes, please, Twitter, and make sure you tag. Make sure you tag me at Britt T. Griffith for Twitter. Make sure you tag me. I want to see all the compromising poses that I'm in.
Do you find yourself? Well, no, I probably shouldn't ask that one. If you find yourself in a lot of those, because you just.
I do. I am bad when it comes to taking pictures.
Right.
Especially if I'm a little drunk, I'm a lot of fun to be around, but it makes for bad pictures.
Right on. Well, if you're listening to Britt Griffith now, go Google him and do the image search, and let's see what everybody else has posted about him. And well, maybe we'll put a collage together for you, Britt, of all the compromising photos that we can find on the internet of you. We're bringing up to the Scary Cues event.
There's some bad ones out there.
Lord, I better get two poster boards in. Look out.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to let Britt go. Britt, before you go, is there anything that you want to promote, any charities, any books, any websites, anything that you've got going on that you want to promote?
Well, I just want to plug my Twitter. Hit me on Twitter, Britt T. Griffith for Twitter. I'm obviously, if you're in Southern California, next Saturday I'm doing the Pasadena Playhouse. Google the Pasadena Playhouse. And then, of course, please come out to see the premiere of Black Dahlia Haunting at Scarecuse. You can go to scare-a-cuse.net and get all that information. It's obviously in the Syracuse area. And just, you know, if you got any questions, hit me on Facebook. I'd love to answer questions.
Outstanding. Well, buddy, thanks for taking the time. And, you know, normally we run into a whole bunch of commercials, and this last 8 minutes of airtime, we're going to just do a whole bunch of vocal commercials for everybody. So,
All right.
I appreciate
enjoy
your time.
Enjoy the commercials.
And enjoy commercials. I wonder how many people
stay
just
safe.
Logged off.
Yeah, and, now walk over and clap Teresa on the butt for me.
Outstanding. I would do that. And she likes that too. And
good.
My man, we'll see you in Syracuse in just here in a few weeks.
All right. I'll see you then.
Thanks, Britt. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there we go. Britt Griffith, live in living color. Inside of Paranormal Radio. That was fun. He's such a great guy to talk to. He's so funny. And last time we interviewed him, we had a chance to interview him for an internet-only podcast. And, of course, he didn't have to keep trying to check himself what he was saying like he does now with FM radio. So he's certainly quite colorful. And, you know, to meet him in person, that colorful playfulness really comes out. So great stuff. For those that are listening now, I'd like to just, if you're in Cincinnati, let me throw a couple of quick things at you. Miamitown, the Miamitown Ghost Tours guys used to do a thing called like Parafest down in Miamitown. And for the last couple of years, it hasn't really been going on, but they are re-bringing that event back. So October 6th from 11 to 7 down in Miamitown, Ohio. Once you get down there, it is a small ville, whatever you want to call it. And you'll see signs all over the place, but head down to the firehouse or right next to it and you'll see their event going on. And our team, Cornerstone Paranormal, and Teresa and I from Inside the Paranormal Radio will be there. So come down and check us out. If you want to follow up with more info, check out Miamitown Ghost Tours, all one big word, .com, and shoot them an email. I think they have booths open, relatively inexpensive. So check them out. And I think we have Teresa calling. You're live on Inside the Paranormal Radio.
Hi, David.
Hi, we can hear your computer in the background.
I know, I stopped it.
So, we have 6 minutes, Therese. What do you think?
I think it was a great interview. You guys did. It was fine. I'm sorry I couldn't be on there with you guys. I'm not feeling so good tonight.
Well, you sound great, and you heard Britt say that I need to smack you in the butt, so the next butt smack will not be from me, it's from him.
From Britt. Oh, that's special.
Special. Right on.
I can't wait.
That's right. A special remote butt smacking from L.A. Sweet.
No, it was very interesting. You guys had some interesting stuff that he talked about and some insights that I didn't know. Like, we've talked to so many people from television, but he actually talked about some, you know, some of the real things that go on,
right,
like on the set with the different people. All these people showing up, and they get in there and they kind of do their stealth thing. That was pretty interesting.
Well, you know, and it's a lot of stuff that our team, Cornerstone, has experienced. You know, we've had to, on occasion,
right,
because we do local radio stuff and we're doing promo events here, we've had local police kind of just help us out a little bit to make sure that we don't get any mm-hmm. whack jobs and for stuff that we promote. And, you know, he talked about, you know, being away from, if you want to be on TV, you know, the fact that it's not the pay that people think, and it's hours and time away where you can't really have another regular real job, but yet you're not making as much money. And, you know, our team has experienced that recently with some opportunities that we have coming up. So, you know, he really reworded, but he just reminded us that, you know, what we're experiencing is not new to us. And it's interesting. Yep. So I want to take
a great interview.
Right on. Well, I want to take a quick shout out to Abduction Wine. Those guys have been around us since this show started. And tonight we're just having some technical difficulties and not able to play their normal 30-second commercial. But
I have to tell you that their white wine, I have not gone to the red yet. I've only been to the blue, or the white, I should say the blue bottle, which is the white wine. And it is very, very good.
Yes, Teresa doesn't drink much, so when she starts drinking Abduction Wine, the white wine, yeah.
Galactic White, yes, sirree, Bob. Abduction Galactic White was good.
That's right.
I'm slowly going to the red.
So, yeah, check them out at abductionwine.com. Their wine actually did start shipping here recently, so they've got some distributors that can take care of it for you. So abductionwine.com, check them out. Also, if you're in Cincinnati or in the region and you need some photographers, check out Crystal over at chicksthatshoot.com. That's chicks, C-H-I-C-K-S, thatshoot.com. She has done a lot of work with us and for us, and she's awesome and fun to be around and good attitude and does some great work. So chicksthatshoot.com. And Creep Fest, we talked about October 7th coming up, the Poatestown Elementary School up near Middletown, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. Check them out, Creep Fest. You can look them up on Facebook. Look for Creep. I forget what the acronym stands for. Cincinnati Review Extra Paranormal, something like that. So sorry, guys, yeah. I just butchered it to death. But go to Facebook.
Extraordinarily Paranormal. Or
that's it.
Like that.
Yeah, Cincinnati Researchers of the Extra Paranormal, something. So whatever. These guys, JD, he's been fun with us. He's had a good time. You know, setting up this event, and it's like 8 to 5, so it's gonna be like a daytime thing. And so yeah, if you've never investigated during the day or if you've never been around something like that, come out and check them out at Poatestown. It's like $2 to get in, so you're not going to go to another paranormal event for $2. So Teresa and I will be there at that, along with our Cornerstone team and our four-legged investigator Sophie. So come check us out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other stuff. Keep listening. If you're local to Cincinnati, throughout September, listen to 96 Rock. You will hear us on the air quite a bit. We've got a lot of promotions coming up with them. On Halloween night in Cincinnati, we're going to have 20 winners from this radio show and from 96 Rock going out to do an investigation with us and some of the DJs. And we'll announce that location soon. But what a great time that's going to be on Halloween night. Start about 9 o'clock so you can still take your kids out trick-or-treating. Whew, that's a lot. If you're also in Cincinnati in October 6th, the Cornerstone team will be at the Anderson Public Library from 2 to 5 in the afternoon for a free event. We're going to be out there as ghost hunters. We'll have our dog Sophie there. Teresa and the library folks are going to be putting together some arts and craft things so you can make your own little ghost or carve a pumpkin or whatever they choose to do. We're going to have a non-scary little presentation about how we do and what we do things. Refreshments and food will be provided there by the library, so check that out. Anderson Public Library, or Anderson Branch of the Hamilton County Public Library, Saturday, October 6th. And then that following Wednesday, October 10th, we'll be doing the exact same thing down in Harrison, Ohio, but that one's in the evening starting at 7 p.m. So check us out. For more information, you can hit us up at cornerstoneparanormal.com. You can hit us up at insideparanormal.com or facebook.com/cornerstoneparanormal or facebook.com/insideparanormal.
Sure. Oh, and don't forget to go see Sophie Parapuppy, right?
Right, Sophie Parapuppy.
On Facebook?
On Facebook.
So is it Sophie Parapuppy or is it Parapuppy?
It's actually Sophie.Parapuppy. So it's facebook.com/Sophie.Parapuppy.
And she's our four-legged...
That's right.
Baby that goes on investigations with us.
All right. Well, we are live. We are out of here. We are running over. It's 9 o'clock in the east. We are out of here. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. We are Inside
the Paranormal.
Have
a good evening.
Next week. Goodbye.
Cooperative Studios. This is WVQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM.